Next on The Balanced Word.
Your choices have consequences. What you do today is going to affect your tomorrow. And when you understand that, you can begin to live wisely. You can avoid the foolish sort of things that mess you up. How you treat animals has consequences to you. The habits that you form, it affects your future. The way you choose to live your life economically has a huge impact on the health of your overall lifestyle. The way you treat people in public and the way you criticize them, it can come back to really bite you and hurt you.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We tell it to our kids from an early age. Your choices have consequences. But do we realize the same holds true for us as adults? What we do today will affect our tomorrow and our relationship with God more than you may realize. Today on The Balanced Word, we continue Pastor Dave Rolfe's series, Smarter Living. The focus of late has been on how we can do life better. And today we'll learn to apply wisdom to the choices we make on a daily basis. Here's Pastor Dave in the Proverbs.
Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 30, and let's look at verses 7 through 9. This is a great passage. Two things I request of you. It's a prayer to God. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood. Number one, remove falsehood and lies far from me. And number two, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. The first thing is like, just keep me away from being a phony. Keep me away from lies, lies that I tell, lies that people tell me that I believe. Just, God, it's so important because knowing the truth and being honest with yourself and being honest with others is the epitome of what mental health looks like. To live a lie, to be a victim of lies and so on, that kind of phoniness destroys who we are. It eats away at the center of our lives. And so that's a huge priority. I would say it's one of the number one priorities that we need to look at in our own lives and that we need to pray about. God, help me to be honest with myself, to be honest with you, to be honest with others. I want to live a healthy, integrated life of integrity. But then, I don't want to be rich and I don't want to be poor, he says. You know, it's so, you know, there's a real blessing to being kind of in the middle economically. Now, because of the country we live in, most of us are way on the rich side compared to most of the people in the world. But what he says here is really an interesting point because he recognizes right away, man, if I'm rich, you know, if I have more, you know, more food than what I need to eat, if I'm too full, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? In other words, when you are really wealthy, you don't even need God. You don't like, God, please give us this day our daily bread. When you have a refrigerator full of food and you have money in the bank and you have, and plus if you ever ran out of food, there'd be somebody else that would give it to you. There's something that you lose when you have stuff that you used to use as a reason why you would cry out to God. I remember years ago, I was talking to Pastor Chuck, and I said, so we were talking about the old days when Calvary was first getting started, and really the glory years of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And I said, how have things changed? And he said, back then, it was really easy to know God's will, because he said, we'd get an idea of something, and then we had to go, you know, like with buying the property on Fairview and Sunflower. It was like, we got this idea, but God had to provide the money or we couldn't possibly do it. And so he said, when God provided, that was like, oh, where God, Chuck would always say, where God guides, he provides. So he said, that was real security. Knowing that if God didn't do some miracle, we couldn't get into something that we shouldn't get into. But, and he was pretty much committed not to go into debt to do things like that. He varied that just a couple times in the history of the church. But Chuck said, now we have, you know, lots of $50 million or something in the bank. And he said, now when we get an idea, I don't know if it's God or not, because I can't sit here and say, okay, God, provide for me and let me know. So he said, the problem is we get into some stuff that we probably shouldn't, because we think because we can afford it, we don't need to look to God to provide. It's just, oh, he's already provided for us to do whatever we want to do. Well, it's not necessarily a healthy thing to be able to do whatever you can afford to do. And so it is here. All of a sudden, God takes a different place in your life if now you don't need to rely on him to provide for you. And so it's one of the hazards of having more than you need, certainly. But an equal hazard for people who are poor, who are really struggling. Yeah, they do need to rely on God, but sometimes God doesn't give you the stuff that you're praying for. Sometimes you look and you're like, and because our standards adjust with where we are in society and what our friends have and everything. See, whereas the rich person can sometimes just totally forget about God and think he doesn't need him, the poor person who cries out to God, and sometimes God just doesn't give you what you're asking for. Maybe it's because of irresponsibility you've had in the past, or maybe it's because God doesn't think you need as much as you think you need. For whatever reason, there are people who get so frustrated when God doesn't answer their prayers that they end up turning against God. But either way, having a lot or having a little, how we manage our resources affects our relationship with God. And that's what this proverb is really addressing. It makes a difference. The choices that you make, the values that we have, it affects our relationship with God. Now, a good piece of advice, if you look at this, is, so what I don't want to do is live above my means, or I don't want to get everything that I can afford. Now, there are some people, and Proverbs makes it very clear, there are some people that God just blesses with a whole lot of abundance. They're just wealthy. And that's not something that's a bad thing. But the real test is, with what God has given you, do you live more of a middle-class type lifestyle, or do you just go for, you know, always think that, okay, I can afford a bigger house, so I'm going to get a bigger house. I can afford this, so I'm going to do that. That puts you on this cycle, on this trail of ultimately kind of messing yourself up. This week on, I think it was Thursday night, Pastor Tony Evans, Dr. Tony Evans, was speaking over at Calvary, and I did a couple of hours of Pastor's Perspective beforehand, and they said, hey, do you want to come over and see Tony Evans? And great. And before the thing, they had a little VIP reception, and he came and met everybody and talked. But he was up there up front, and they said, does anybody have any questions? And people asked different questions about his ministry and stuff. But finally, they're like, one more. And I raised my hand, and I said, how do you stay like healthy and normal, balance your life? And he was like, you could tell it kind of made him uncomfortable. And he said, well, I don't know, my wife kind of helps with that, and I have a good board. And then his son, Anthony Evans, who many of you are familiar with his music, he walked up and he said, I wouldn't work with my dad the way I do if I didn't see that he's a guy who lives a healthy, balanced life. He said, I don't always know how he does it, but he said, I'll tell you this. When my dad's church started exploding and his ministry began to spread and he was famous, other pastors told him, you need to get a bigger house, you need to get a jet, you need to do this, you need to do that. But he said, my dad just said no. And they live in the same house that I lived in when I was 3 years old with them. Because he said, it's not because they couldn't afford a bigger house. They just decided, this house is fine for us. We raised our kids in this house, and it has memories, and this will do fine. And I thought, wow, what a cool testimony of somebody who just doesn't feel like they need to keep trying to stay ahead of the curve. Somebody that just says, you know what, I'm good where I am. I'm balanced where I am, and this is okay. And I do think that if all of a sudden your life changes greatly because you hit it rich, or you find yourself in a greater area of success, just ask yourself, where do I draw the line? You know, do I want to be way out there trying to keep up with the Joneses? Or do I just go, you know what? I have a good life right now. The people that I know that are the happiest are people who've been living in the same kind of place for quite a while. They settle into life. And I think that that's what is being said here in Proverbs 30, is that just find that middle ground. Not so rich that you're getting yourself in trouble, not so poor that you're feeling like you need to beg. Just find a sweet spot whereby your life is not just about your stuff, either because you've got to get them or because you need to have more. Find a way to be happy in that balance. And I think that's certainly a good reminder for all of us. Now, in the same passage, but the very next verse, Proverbs 30 and verse 10, this is another kind of interesting one. He says, "Don't malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty." Basically, what he's saying is, don't go around and rat out people to their boss. You know, don't be somebody who's critical of somebody who, you know, you see somebody who you think does a bad job of waiting on you in a restaurant, you need to report them. You need to mess them up. You need to, and there are a couple of reasons. One of the reasons that he basically gives here is, look, they know the boss better than you do, probably. The boss knows them. They have more information. You're seeing them in a small sliver of time. And the truth is, even if they're a jerk, they can go convince their boss that you were a jerk to them, and he's probably going to believe it. But the thing is, in life, it's a full-time job for me to judge me, for me to check my own behavior, my own attitudes. And I really don't want to spend my life going around and pointing out where everyone else is wrong and judging them. It's partly why the Bible says don't judge other people. And it's partly why, you know, I love where Paul said, hey, I don't let people judge me. I don't judge myself even. I'll let God judge me. And I think that's sort of the spirit of this, is don't think that you're the random police that needs to call out people who aren't doing a good job. If you're going to a business and they treat you badly, just don't use the business anymore. That's okay. But don't feel like you have to be the one to go fix them. You'll end up looking stupid when you do that. And you just may not know, that person might be having just a bad day. I remember Jerry was telling us about, he was out to lunch with a friend of his, and the waitress was really doing a bad job, and he was feeling like, somebody needs to report this. This is awful. And his friend just talked to the waitress and said, what's going on in your life right now? You know, what's the matter? And she just began to open up, and she was just going through a really painful time. How many of us even take the time to do that? See, somebody who's having a bad day is not necessarily a bad person. And when they're having a bad day already, if you get on their case, it just is going to make it worse. And then you look like some kind of a, you know, you're looking down your nose at people who, you know, are actually work for someone else, not for you. If you're an employer, your job may be to analyze the behavior of people that work for you. If you're a secret shopper that's hired to go check out services or a critic of restaurants and that's your job, okay, you do your job. But for most of us, if we would just release the idea that anybody who messes up is somehow, it's our problem to address it, you save a lot of trouble by just not doing that and keep a lot of pain from coming on yourself as well. Now turn over to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, beginning with verse 8. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now, he doesn't say never go to court. What he says is don't go hastily. Don't rush into legal action. There may be times when the only way for you to do what's right for everyone is to get involved with legal action. But what he's kind of saying here is, talk it out if you can. Over in Luke 12, Jesus talks about the same kind of thing. He says, instead of just rushing off to judge, why don't you talk to the guy? See if you can work it out with him. See if you can avoid going to court. Paul over in 1 Corinthians 6 talks about the fact that, you know, Christians were suing each other. And he doesn't say that Christians should never sue Christians. That's kind of a misunderstanding of the passage. But what he's pointing out is it's a bad witness. And not only that, sometimes you're better off taking a loss than to fight for everything to which you're entitled. And it ends up costing you a whole lot more than what's really worthwhile at all. And so with this proverb, it's the idea of, if you're thinking about suing somebody, find out if there's a way that you can settle with them. Do the best you can. Ask yourself, is my potential loss so significant that I need to do this? Now, certainly, if you're in business, and I know if you're a contractor or something like that, you have people all the time who just don't want to pay you. And sometimes the only way to get them to pay you is to file some sort of legal paperwork. But at that point, still, talk to them. See if there's a way that you could settle things and win for everyone. Basically, in court, usually no one wins. You rush to court, it costs a lot. Attorneys benefit from it. But I had a friend who was a really good attorney. His name was Vern Hunt. He's in heaven now, so he's not an attorney anymore. But he was the president of the Orange County Bar Association. A really powerful person. They kept trying to make him a judge, but he made so much as an attorney, he couldn't afford to be a judge, take a cut in pay. But when he walked into a courtroom, I went with him a few times, and when he walked in, it's like, oh, Vern Hunt. So I asked him, I said, Vern, if you know you have a 100% locked-tight case, what are the chances that you're going to win in court? And he said, 50-50. Basically, this is with one of the best attorneys in Orange County who has a great reputation, who's really smart, who knows, you know, was a godly guy and prays about all of his cases and everything. He had a coin toss as to whether he was going to win or not, see? And so that's kind of the heart of this, too, is, man, court is messy. Justice is really random at best. So if you have any possibility to settle out of court, to not spend your life in litigation, you will get the time and the effort and the money it takes to do that, and it just might be a better deal than to put all of your feelings into that. I've never sued anybody, but I've been sued several times, and it's just awful. You know it's hanging over you, and you can be like, I know I'm right, and I know I'm going to win, and I have insurance, and they're taking care of it, no problem, but it still eats away at you. Just having something hanging there in court. Anything that we can do to even, as Paul says, to take a loss, rather than to allow your life, your precious hours and days and moments of your life to be spent trying to beat somebody at something where they've already robbed you enough and now they're going to rob you of more time and more money and more energy and more enthusiasm. Hey, life is too important to waste it constantly being in court. I've had people who are always suing somebody. And you listen to their story, they're always right. I mean, like, wow, that is a good case. But it dominates their life. It's sad. There's this one guy that was always like that, and I hadn't seen him in years. And then I run into him, and I'm like, so who are you suing now? Well, oh, there's this guy. It's like, attorneys love this guy. But if he wins, he's not breaking even on anything. And so the wisdom of Solomon is just to go, you know what, if you can stay out of feuds with people, if you can stay out of lawsuits with people, the best way to win a lawsuit is to avoid it, be reasonable, see if there's some way that you can work it all out. Now, as I look at all of these proverbs that we've looked at today, if they're random and they're miscellaneous, but when I reflect on all of them together, I think what all these things sort of come down to is, your choices have consequences. What you do today is going to affect your tomorrow. And when you understand that, you can begin to live wisely. You can avoid the foolish sort of things that mess you up. How you treat animals has consequences to you. The habits that you form, it affects your future. The way you choose to live your life economically has a huge impact on the health of your overall lifestyle. The way you treat people in public and the way you criticize them, it can come back to really bite you and hurt you. And if you want to spend your life trying to prove that you're right in court, man, what you're giving up is probably much more valuable than anything that you're going to gain by doing that. So good reminder for all of us that it's like, what I do this week is going to affect more than this week. It's going to affect everything down the road. And I think it's smart for us to consider that.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here's Pastor Dave with a few final thoughts.
Now, there may be people here or listening who have never actually been connected with God through Jesus Christ. And you're listening to this and you're going, this is pretty good. I thought I was going to come to church and they're going to preach to me about how bad I am and I need to repent and all that kind of stuff. But really, all they've done is given me a lot of really good advice. But I just have one more piece of advice. The smartest thing I ever did in my life was the day I decided to surrender to God and to allow Him to forgive me, to say, if Jesus died so that I can be forgiven, I need somebody who's that loyal to me, who would love me that much, who would give His life for me. And the knowledge that the Bible teaches that I am clean no matter what you or anybody else thinks of me, that whenever I mess up, which is a lot, that it's forgiven and it's taken away. I would not want to do life without that assurance. I would not want to live feeling the pain and the weight of carrying my own guilt for the damage that I've done to myself. And so if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I would strongly encourage that you check that one off your list and get right with God. It's simple. It's free. All you have to do is invite Him to forgive you, and your life starts over. And for the rest of your life, you will know He will be leading you and guiding you. He will help you to become more wise in the choices that you make so that it'll produce a better life later. And then when life is over, it's just going to begin because you are clean before God and He has a place that He has prepared for you. If you haven't done that, if you don't have that assurance, I don't even know how you do life. I don't know how you can stand to get up in the morning. But if you would like that assurance, there'll be people down here in the front who would just love to pray with you. They're not going to ask for anything from you. They're not going to tell you all the rules that now you need to follow. Not at all. That's kind of God's job to do that. And He'll show you what works and what doesn't, what is blessed and what messes you up. But just to say, I need to be forgiven. I want to start life fresh. I'm going to let God love me. That's what you do when you pray to accept Jesus. You don't have to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, and I've been a Christian for a long, long time. But all you need to do is say, I don't have all the answers, and I'm open to you forgiving me. So if that's you and you've never done that, don't rush out of here. That would be foolish. Wisdom, the first, maybe the certainly the wisest thing that you've ever done, but maybe one of the first wise things you've done would be to come down and just turn yourself into the Lord and receive His love and His forgiveness. So I pray that if you haven't done that, that you'll do it today. For all the rest of us, Let's just look at how we live our lives. Let's break up the patterns. Let's analyze the habits. Let's just see in what ways is what I'm doing today messing up my future. And let's just start making better decisions. Let's start living more wisely, because God wants what's best for us. And the way we get what's best for us is to just do what he tells us to do. His wisdom is everywhere. But let's give into it. Let's shake our life up a little bit and say, I know I can do this better. And that'll be a great week if we do that.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we'll hear what the Proverbs have to say about fear. We hope you can join us for that, as Pastor Dave Rolfe continues to show us how to do life better and be more effective. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.